Can you start by telling us a little about yourself?
Sure. Of course, my name is Tim Lobdell. I've been on the city council for just about 12 years now. Came to Macomb as a student in 1984. Got involved with the community through the YMCA. Owned a business. Just really kind of fell in love with the community and decided to put down roots. I currently work for the Western Illinois Regional Council. I work with public transportation providers throughout the region, trying to increase efficiencies for those in need of those transportation options.
So you're running for a fourth four-year term on the city council?
Well, no, not exactly. I think this is my second or third actual four-year term because of the census issues that we've had in the past.
Okay.
I've had a bunch of two-year terms mixed in there. Yeah, I'm running for a four-year term this time.
Why are you running for another term?
Well, back when I owned my business, I got involved with the Downtown Development Committee. Got interested in trying to do things to make things better for the downtown specifically and certainly, you know, other issues that I had noticed throughout the community. I got involved. I stayed involved and I see a trend in politics in general where fewer and fewer people are involved. And I think it's important that we do what we can to try and keep things running.
Is there something in particular you would like to accomplish in another term?
Well, I'd like to see the infrastructure projects really get off on a firm footing. And I think they have to a large extent. But this bond issue is just coming to fruition now with the projects. I'd like to see some of those through a little further. Our infrastructure needs are critical. We're way behind, and we need to have a plan going forward. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of developing one, but there's a lot yet to come that I'd like to be a part of.
Yeah, what role would you play in that? How would you go about accomplishing this?
Well, as a member of the Public Works Committee, I have a key role in it right now in working with the Public Works Director, City Administrator, and administration on identifying the most critical needs and addressing those first. There's always going to be debate about what those critical needs are and how we most equitably spread those around the city so that everybody is benefiting from the taxes that they're paying.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing Macomb?
Our budget. We have, over the years, of course, been limited by PTEL, which isn't a bad thing. I think government growth in general is nationwide something that needs to be addressed, and there are some significant issues at all levels of government that are causing that impact on budgets. Of course, the recession and stagnant economic growth is the big one that can cover up a lot of warts, if you will. But absent economic growth, we've got some tough choices ahead of us. Now here in Macomb, because of the PTEL, we've been forced to address some of those issues a little earlier than others have. And we've done that through early retirement. We've done that through attrition with the workforce. We move money around, how money is assigned to certain departments so that we can get some flexibility in the general government fund. There aren't many maneuvers left, and we're still in deficit budget mode. To the credit of past councils, you know, they've wanted to keep people employed. They've deferred critical infrastructure needs, whether it be in the water distribution system, sewer distribution system, roads in the past. I mean, that's why we have the sales tax infrastructure money, so that they can keep people employed. And in reality, we're probably, for the services that we provide, we're probably at our minimum staffing level in many ways. We're pretty lean as a government goes, especially when you do comparables with other communities. We're in contract negotiations now. size of our police department, size of our fire department. They're small compared to other communities. So where do we go from here? You know, we're looking at service cuts. We're looking at laying people off if we can't turn this around.
Any thoughts on, I guess, how you would tackle that challenge? I mean, where would you try to further trim the city budget?
Well, that's the choice that we have ahead of us. You know, we're trying to be responsible, recognizing that everybody's cost of living is going up. We recognize that. But health insurance premiums are outstripping inflation. Workers' comp outstrips inflation. You have pension payments you have to make. There's a whole host of issues that cost the city more than what we're allowed under PTEL. So we're really getting to the point in the near future where we're going to have to talk layoffs if something doesn't change. And I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm not trying to do anything else. We've pretty much used all the tools in our box. There isn't a whole lot left flexibility-wise unless the economy turns around. And I don't think anybody's too optimistic about that. So it's just something that needs to be out there, something people need to be aware of.
Would you be in favor of trying to increase the city's revenues through fees or taxes or whatever?
Well, that's a tricky question because I do believe that we pay a fair share as taxpayers, whether it's through fees or taxes or whatever goes into funding government. They're all a tax in some sense of the word. But I think the model that we used for the sales tax infrastructure is, in principle, the right model to use. Try and capture revenue from visitors to the city, whether that be through an entertainment tax, through other use taxes, things that we don't have available to us unless we talk home rule. And I understand that's a big hurdle. That's a lot of trust to give the city council because it is an avenue of revenue generation that exposes taxpayers. I get that. But used responsibly, I think it can help actually lower their overall tax burden by spreading it to visitors to our community.
So since you bring up home rule, are you a supporter of that?
Always have been.
And that's something that would have to be approved by voters or mm-hmm. automatically kicks in if the population is
25,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. So in this case, it's more likely going to have to go to voters if you were to ever do that.
Yep. Probably through referendum, which, of course, can be revoked by referendum as well. And that has happened in a couple instances, but very few. And the studies show that home rule communities actually did lower their overall tax burden from the standpoint of, you know, the traditional taxes, property taxes, and those sorts of things.
Would you say home rule lowers the burden on the residents and spreads it around to, I guess, others?
Generally speaking, yeah. Now, you have to use it appropriately. I mean, you have to target those few items that allow you to spread it around.
Which would be what?
Well, specifically, it gives you access to hotel motel tax beyond the CVB component. Of course, we have many visitors in the form of students and their parents to the community. They contribute greatly to our community, certainly, but they're not paying property taxes. The institutions that bring them here are not paying property taxes. They're vital component of our economy, certainly, but in relation to permanent residents, I think the argument could be made that they don't pay the same tax burden, but they do use the same infrastructure.
You touched on this before, but what do you think of the major street repair plan that the city's about to undertake?
Well, I am excited about it. I know it's going to be very disruptive for the local neighborhoods. We've tried to communicate to the best of our ability what to expect in those neighborhoods. But this was one of the things that really drove me when I first came on the council was our need for infrastructure improvements. And the taxpayers have been wonderful in recognizing the need for that through the various sales tax referendums that we've gone through. I think they're going to really see some significant improvement over the next several years with their faith in our plan going forward.
As you know, in a couple of years, the city will be doing work on the square. What all would you like to see included in that project?
Well, I think what we're looking for is a more inviting square. As you know, from the council meeting last night, we discussed that we had interviews with three downtown designers, if you will, on Friday. And what came through in each of their descriptions, some of them were somewhat local, some of them were from further away. But all three of the firms mentioned that it looks like a parking lot. It drives like a parking lot. It doesn't really appeal aesthetically to the eye of people who see other downtowns and who realize the visual impact and what that can do to the vibrancy of a downtown. So I think one of the things we want to do is improve traffic flow, safety on the square. There's been talk of visual components, making the square more inviting, letting people know further out near the interchanges at the highway that there's something to see on the square. You know, so entryways into the square are going to be an important component. We've talked about maybe wider sidewalks to make it more pedestrian-friendly and more usable for commercial spaces, whether they be restaurants or sidewalk sales or whatever the case may be. And basically just an overall facelift. The square hasn't been attended to for, I think, 20-plus years now. It's tired. It's old. It's breaking in places. We need to update it. And because we have to go through that exercise anyway, it's a good opportunity for us to look at the whole picture and see if we can't improve in other ways.
Someone I know who's fairly new to town told me there seems to be a lack of curbs and sidewalks in Macomb, which makes the town look run down. How do you respond to that?
Well, again, that's been a function of past need. You know, we had infrastructure needs in the past. Communities grow up from the center out. Typically, those outlying areas are old country areas that were just ditch and shoulder, and many times those areas stay, and they just get overlaid because that's the cheapest way to do it. Going forward, as we get the opportunity through the sales tax to go in and redo these streets, we're trying to do those upgrades. It takes time. We've got a lot of road work out there to do. Even with the progress that we've already made, there's a lot more to go. And, of course, they're cyclical. So I've always advocated doing the best job we can up front, using the best materials and longest-lasting materials and not necessarily the cheapest materials, because in the case of concrete, you're getting 2.5 times the lifespan you are of asphalt. So unless the asphalt's costing you 2.5 times less than the concrete, you're getting more mileage out of that concrete and having to go back there less often. And hopefully that'll allow us to catch up. That's what I've advocated for strongly, and I hope we will do that going forward.
Some of the housing stock looks run down, too. What can the city do about that?
Well, that's a pretty difficult question. You know, we've had a lot of apartment complexes come in. Our housing stock, what we would determine as single-family housing stock, of course, is about 50-50 with residential versus rental property. But because there's been so much pressure put on those rental properties through the apartment complexes, they don't have the money to renovate them. So we've started a program called Fixer Flatten that is trying to force that issue and get those houses either upgraded or they'll go away. There are probably other avenues that we could look at, but that would depend on some grant money that probably isn't very likely to get for rental housing stock. And we're certainly going to pursue all avenues, but it's a tough issue. There is a need, but you know, you can't put money back into a property that you can't rent. It's a vicious circle for landlords and that happens in a free market society.
What do you think the city can do to bring more jobs to town?
Well, obviously, I know Maidco and Kim Pierce is out there working diligently to do whatever she can to attract people to Macomb. I think the biggest thing we have going for us is the bypass north around Macomb and the eventual completion to Peoria. Roads, more often than not, is the key. And they've recognized that long ago with the 67 Corridor Committee and the work that they've done. I think that's the right approach. It's just a matter of remaining diligent, making those business contacts. Kim's doing that. And hopefully we'll get some more hits like we did with Pella and the NTN Bauer expansion.
The bypass, do you see that mostly just being surrounded by prairie grass, or do you see businesses coming out to where the bypass is?
Well, I think most every bypass you look at around the country, you see businesses sprouting up around the interchanges. So eventually, yeah, I don't know what that time frame is going to be. I don't think anybody does, but I think eventually you'll see that.
You think there's a good relationship between the city and the university?
I think the lines of communication are open. There are always going to be, your own interests that you have to look to first. But I think we have a line of communication that's open and honest, and we can talk about those issues and work through it the best way possible for both of us.
Your current ward includes some university neighborhoods, and the newly drawn ward maybe includes more?
No, my newly drawn ward goes mostly south, all the way down to Grant Street. So I've only got the northernmost portions of Adams Street, or the southernmost portions, the southernmost portions of Adams Street to the south.
Okay. Do you hear much from students? I know your ward doesn't include a lot of Western, but
a little bit.
Do you hear much?
A little bit here and there, sure. We all wish students were more engaged, and it's nice to see that we have some engaged in the election this time around. But their focus is generally at the national level. They don't generally get involved in the local elections, and to the extent that they do, I encourage it and hope there'll be more.
Why should someone vote for you?
Well, I believe that I try and take a logical view about where we need to go as a city. I listen to my constituents. I understand that the people talking to me aren't necessarily the only people that need to be considered. We represent about 5,000 people, 4,000 people apiece, and on any given issue, we're hearing from two or three people at the most, sometimes a little more, but two or three people at the most. Hard to make a decision based on that. So you have to use your experience. You have to use some logic and hopefully come up with a solution that works for the most people.
That'll do it. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.